exterior of anything and feeling like I know what's on the inside before I dive in and find out. Okay? All right. Second illustration. This one is sure to backfire. Are you ready? I have a quiz for you. All right. I'm going to put a statement up on the screen and I want you to tell me whether or not you agree with it. And then I'm going to ask a question based on that statement. Are you ready? Are you ready? Okay. Just got to liven you up. All right. Here it says, the Holy Scriptures, Old and New Testaments, are the written word of God given by divine inspiration through holy men of God who spoke and wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. In this word, God has committed to man the knowledge necessary for salvation. The Holy Scriptures are the infallible revelation of His will. Does anybody disagree with that statement? All right. Question is, which website did I get this from? KCC's, St. Paul Lutheran Church, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, or the Kalkaska United Methodist Church? How many think it's from KCC's website? All right. How about St. Paul Lutheran Church? You got to vote for one of them. How about the Seventh-day Adventist Church? All right. And how about the United Methodist Church? All right. And the answer is the Seventh-day Adventist Church. All right. Next question. Next statement. The Bible is God's inerrant and infallible word in which He reveals His law and His gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ. It is the sole rule and norm for Christian doctrine. Does anyone disagree with this statement? All right. Which website did it come from? KCC? Anyone? St. Paul Lutheran Church. All right. The People's Church. Okay. Seventh-day Adventist Church. All right. And the answer is St. Paul. Are you writing down your answers on the bulletin to see how well you're doing? All right. All right. Next statement. We believe that the Bible is God's word to the world, speaking to us with authority and without error. Does anybody disagree with this statement? All right. Cold Springs Christian Fellowship. Anyone? All right. KCC. That's us, by the way. All right. Seventh-day Adventist Church. Kalkaska Church of the Nazarene. All right. And the answer is Cold Springs Christian Fellowship. All right. How are you doing so far? Anybody got 100%? 2 for 3. All right. Next one. We believe in the plenary inspiration of the Holy Scriptures by which we understand the 66 books of the Old and New Testaments given by divine inspiration, inerrantly revealing the will of God concerning us in all things necessary to our salvation, so that whatever is not contained therein is not to be enjoined as an article of faith. Inerrant means what? Without error. Okay, just to make that clear, it's been up there a few times. Okay, does anybody disagree? All right. KCC? All right. Cold Springs Fellowship? Church of the Nazarene? All right. And Kalkaska United Methodist Church? All right. And the answer is? Church of the Nazarene. All right. Anybody 100% so far? All right. All right. I think is the last one. The Bible is God's word to us. It was written by human authors under the supernatural guidance of the Holy Spirit. It is the supreme source of truth for Christian beliefs and living because it is inspired by God. It is the truth without any mixture of error. Does anybody disagree with the statement? All right. What do we got? KCC? Anyone? All right. St. Paul Lutheran Church. Church of the Nazarene. Cold Springs Fellowship. And the answer is KCC. That was my last one, right? Okay, thought so. All right, I think you could probably get my point that we can look at all the different church websites in our community, and I struggle because growing up, and I don't blame this church, I don't blame the elders, I don't blame my dad, I blame myself, that I had this thing that everybody else was wrong and we were the only ones that were right. And I would prejudge when someone would come to me and say, hey, I've been going to such and such a church and I have a relationship with Jesus. And, you know, my first thought was, yeah, but what, have you been baptized yet? What did they tell you about this? Or what did they tell you about that? And I just thought that I had the monopoly on all the answers Christian. But the fact of the matter is that until we go inside and talk and share and love, do we really find out if somebody has a relationship with Jesus Christ? That we prejudge the outside and say there's something wrong there because they're not with us. Right? Well, this is the first illustration that came to mind when I thought of the passage of Scripture that we're looking at today. And it's in Mark chapter 9. Go ahead and turn there. Mark chapter 9. And we're starting in verse 38. Mark chapter 9, 38. And I hope that you'll see why I had this illustration in what you that you see what I'm talking about. In Mark chapter 9, starting in verse 38. All right. Here's what it says. John said to him, John is who? An apostle whom Jesus loved, right? He was in the inner circle. Peter, James, and John of the 12 were Jesus' inner circle. John is the one that when Jesus was on the cross, he looked at Mary and said, Mother, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. It's rumored that John did take Mary in and took care of her until she died. And that Jesus and John just had this relationship that was closer than most. OK, and so this John, this apostle, this sent out one, said to him, Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name. And we tried to stop him because he was not following us. But Jesus said, don't stop him. For no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. I want to look at a few different things with this passage of Scripture. The first one is this. I want to look at the name of Jesus, and that the name of Jesus is powerful. The name of Jesus is powerful. When I first read this, I was just flabbergasted, I guess, is a great old-fashioned word to use. Taken back that other people were able to go with Jesus' name and cast out demons. Right? Now, I could almost get my mind around someone listening to Jesus and going in Jesus' name and saying, okay, I saw him do this, and so I'm gonna touch your eyes. And I'm going to pray to God, and I'm going to ask him in Jesus' name, who I've been listening to and believe is the Messiah, that he'll allow you to see again and touch their eyes and be able to see. I can almost grasp my mind around that. But people were not just able to go and touch someone and have healing in Jesus' name, but they were actually able to go to someone who had a demon, a minion of Satan inside of them, and go in Jesus' name and pray for them, and that demon went running for the hills. That just was astounding to me to be able to read that people who had been following Jesus during this time of his ministry as he was teaching, and they were just excited and they were beside themselves at how awesome he was speaking. They'd been listening to the scribes teaching the synagogues, and they'd been hearing them teach all these years. And then suddenly this other rabbi comes along. And he starts teaching from the same scripture, and he starts telling them that the kingdom of God is here and telling us what these scriptures mean. And they were just amazed at what they heard from Jesus. And so they followed him and they listened to him. And apparently they also were watching him. And as they watched him heal the sick and cast out demons. And that they too, as they were going about their daily business, as they were with their family, at work, whatever the case may be, that they too were able to go to someone that they could identify that person had an evil spirit, which is pretty powerful in itself, and be able to pray for them in Jesus' name and have that cast out of that person. That's how powerful the name of Jesus is. And that they saw that it was, that these people were following and able to say, I'm going to go do this. Now, that was powerful on a couple of different levels to me. One, what's powerful about Jesus' name is that you and I, in sitting there and watching him and listening to him and watching him feed 5,000 and 4,000, that we would even feel brave enough to be able to go and do the things that Jesus had done. Right? That we could watch Jesus, that we could listen to his teaching and think to ourselves, I'm going to go give this a shot. This guy comes to me, he's sick or he's got a demon. I'm going to pray for him and see, and it works. And just the courage that the people had to be able to say, I'm going to try to do this that I'm witnessing and seeing Jesus do, to me is just powerful in itself. It's powerful in the name of Jesus that you and I would leave this place and go to a family member and say, I believe so much that I'm willing to risk whatever I have to risk to tell you about Jesus. That's a powerful name, Jesus, that can allow us, that could have us go and do that thing because we believe so much in who he is and what he's able to do. And we see that in this passage of scripture, that his name was so powerful that people left his teaching, left his community, left whatever he was doing. They weren't with him at this time. Jesus is alone with his disciples, it would seem. And they're able to go. And when someone comes up with a problem, they're able to say, well, I'm going to do this in Jesus' name. And it worked. And they had the courage to be able to do that. And to me, that's a powerful thing. We see that the name of Jesus is powerful when we see the disciples actually defend him. Right? The disciples were out, hey, you can't do that in Jesus' name. No, you're not one of us. You can't do that. And that Jesus' name was so powerful to them that he as the Messiah was so important that he was the fulfillment of Scripture, and they were starting to get it, starting to understand. And that's powerful. His name is so powerful that they were willing to stand up and say, no, you can't do that. Now, as wrong as Jesus told them that they were to be able to do that, did they not take courage to defend Jesus? Absolutely. But why would they do that? Because of the powerful name of Jesus. The powerful working of who he is to say, I don't think that's right. I don't think you're supposed to be able to do that. You better not do that. That might not be from Jesus. You better not do that. And so we see the name of Jesus being a powerful thing that they were willing to try to defend it as well. So we see the name of Jesus is powerful, and I don't think any of us would disagree that the name of Jesus is powerful. And even today in our ministry, we use the name of Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Why do we pray in Jesus' name? Because nobody comes to the Father but through me, Jesus, right? Nobody comes to the Father but through me. And as we looked at those different church websites, and I could have done two different things. One, I looked at the Bible because I thought, okay, this is the most important thing because I want to know if they truly believe in the Bible. That gives us a basis to be able to have a discussion and an understanding and to say we're all on the same team fighting the same fight to win people for Jesus Christ. And the second, equally important, really, I shouldn't say more important, is who Jesus is. If you don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he was holy God, holy man, that he came and died for our sins and that we are redeemed through his blood, we're not using the powerful name of Jesus. And you're not understanding what his word says about who Jesus is. But we see that Jesus' name is powerful, and so powerful that people were able to leave his teaching and go and be able to do the same miraculous works that he was doing just by saying his name. I think it's fascinating in the book of Acts when the first church is starting and the apostles are going from place to place and they're planting churches. And in one verse of scripture, and I didn't look it up to see exactly what it was, but it's in Acts. But Peter's just walking by and someone's sitting in the shadow of his clothes and they're healed. And I think, wow, that is some powerful stuff through the Holy Spirit that's taking place in that moment. And Jesus' name is that powerful that other people are able to do it sincerely in his name and cast out demons. So we see that Jesus' name is powerful. We also see in this passage of scripture that Jesus' name makes evangelists or makes people who are going to share. It makes witnesses. Okay. Now, that sentence is really horrible. And I looked at it for the third time yesterday and I thought, why did I put that in the outline? But this is what we see that Jesus' name was able to do. We took these people who had been followers of Jesus, okay, so they're disciples, they're followers of his, listening to him teach on the hillside, and they were able to take that message and go to share it with others, right? I just said that, right? But not only were they able to go and to take it to others, but they were able to use that power to heal people. But Jesus said in this passage of scripture, nobody that is for us is against us, or nobody that is against us can be for us. And so what Jesus is saying is that when people take this message and they do it with the right heart and they take it in Jesus' name and they're proclaiming it, it won't be a bad thing. They won't be against us. They will be for us. They will be on our side. We're fighting this battle together to win the lost so that others might know that the Messiah has come. And so Jesus' powerful name makes witnesses of those who listen and those who hear and those who go. That's the power of Jesus. Now, there are some who aren't as courageous to go to share their faith. We hear it. We say, okay, I believe it. But we go out of this place and we say, okay, I don't want to be seen as one of those guys, right? I don't want to be seen as one of those Bible thumpers, throw the Bible at the guy, jumping up and down, spiritual radical, Bible guy, whatever the case may be. And sometimes we have to look inside and say, do I trust the power of Jesus' name? Because if I trust the power of Jesus' name, I will be able to go from this place, share the gospel with someone, have them listen to that, and allow the transforming work of the Holy Spirit and God to do their work on someone's heart to come to know who Jesus is. But that comes from listening, becoming a disciple, learning, and taking that message and taking it out and trusting in the power of Jesus to do that. And that's what we see in this passage of Scripture. Some are casting out demons in your name. And Jesus says, let them. Let them. Why? He says, I lost my place. There it is right there. Right? He says, don't stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterwards to speak evil of me. You see, as people were able to do these mighty works and take this message and see the transforming work of Jesus in their life, they were simply amazed by what was happening. That person's not going to speak ill of Jesus anytime soon. Well, you think the demon-possessed guy with the demon gone now is going to go around saying, yeah, the demon's gone, but that Jesus guy, he's a wacko. No. You think the person that went over and actually cast out the demon in Jesus' name was going to walk around and saying, man, I don't know. I think that was Satan in my arm. I don't think that was Jesus. No. In Jesus' name, they're casting it out. And as they do that, they believe it. And no one who does that is going to be able to speak ill of Jesus. Now, here's the fine line here. How do we know that that was Jesus casting out a demon instead of Satan helping that person cast out a demon so that they'll be tricked? Well, Jesus told him himself in Mark. He said, a kingdom divided against itself can't stand. Satan wouldn't cast out Satan. So we were able to know, and the disciples should have been able to see, the apostles should have been able to see, that when someone was casting out a demon in Jesus' name, that it absolutely was Jesus speaking, because that demon is Satan and they're casting it out, and Satan wouldn't do that to Satan. And that's, too, how we identify whether people are doing ministry in Jesus' name or not. What is the fruit that's coming? What are the words they're using? Are they using God's scripture, or are they using something that they just come up with on their own? Are they just using scripture to twist things and turn things to get their way? Well, we see that Jesus' name is so powerful that it's making witnesses of what they saw to go and do the things that Jesus was doing among the people. And it only would work if it was sincere. It would only work if it was sincere. Do you think Jesus, do you think God would have allowed that demon to be cast out of somebody that was demon possessed, someone casting them out in Jesus' name if they were trying to do it for their own benefit? No. God's not going to allow that. He's not going to allow, especially this time in Jesus' ministry, He's not going to allow this weird thing to take place so that others might run from Him. No. God was using a mighty work to help the people to see that when my Son is gone, when He is crucified, when He is laid in the tomb, when He's resurrected, when He ascends to be with the Father, you're going to be the guys. You're going to be the ones. And it's okay if these folks are doing it in my name, because they too have been disciples. They've been listening. They've been learning. They're now witnesses of what they saw. And the power of Jesus' name is allowing them to do mighty works. It's making witnesses of people because of the things they saw, the things that they read, the things that they hear from Jesus. The third thing I would point out is that Jesus' name is powerful. Jesus' name makes witnesses. But we also see in the scripture that Jesus' name brings rewards. Jesus' name brings rewards. Now, there's a whole sermon series I'm sure I could do on heaven and rewards and losing rewards and gaining rewards and what rewards look like. And does it mean I get a fancier castle than somebody else gets because I lived a little bit better than someone else, and all these kinds of things that we look in the Bible and we try to figure out, OK, what's the reward system look like in God's economy when we get to heaven? Right. Did I help enough old ladies across the street that I get this, you know, the addition added on to my mansion? Right. And I have a swimming pool and not just a desert back there or something. Right. That was just a little funny side something, you know. A little chuckle wouldn't hurt once in a while, would it? Keep encouraging the preacher to go. Okay, so this whole reward thing, right? We know that Jesus' name brings rewards. It says in our passage of Scripture, it says, the Son of Man, once again, I go too far in my book. Do not stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. When it comes to Jesus, in the name of Jesus, it brings rewards. Right? We have in this passage of Scripture, it tells us that it almost really brings a protection reward with it. That Jesus says, if people are taking care of you, they will be rewarded. That's going to encourage more people to bring you in, more people to allow you to speak, more people to encourage you, to help you, to walk with you along the way. All of those things are going to be good things, and they are going to be a reward for you. That you, I got your back. They're a reward to us that Jesus has our back. It's a reward to us that we can go from this place again, taking the message of the gospel, And that some may hate us for the message of the gospel that we take and that we share with them. People may not like the message that we bring to them, but Jesus still has our back. Jesus' name is so powerful, it comes with rewards. And one of those rewards is He takes care of you. He watches over you. He protects you. Right? That He cares for those who care for you. He provides you the cup of cold water when you need something to drink. He does it through other loving Christians and loving family. In fact, that's the other part of what having a reward in Jesus means. It means that the reward that we have in Christ is that we have family. We belong to a family. John 1:9 says that when those who belong to Christ, those who accept Jesus as their Savior, earn the right to become children of God. We become members of His family. If you don't think membership with God's family has its privileges, has its rewards, we need to open up our book again, right? In fact, think of your family right now, your earthly family that you have. You know, I have my son Sam, my son Andrew, my wife Lisa, of course, and there are certain privileges that they have. They know that my forgiveness toward them goes a lot longer than it might be go for a stranger on the street that dupes me, right? They know that I'm there to catch them because they're my kids, they're my family. I'm going to watch over them and care for them. We recently had another young man join our house, and he's staying with us for a little while, and love him, care for him, do whatever I have to with him, but he's not my family, right? There's going to be a measure to which I go, not because I don't love him a lot, but because I just love my family more. Blood's thicker than water kind of thing, right? We all know that. But see, the heavenly reward that we have in Jesus' name is that we're a church family. And with church family comes great privileges. It comes prayer warriors looking out for you. It's people being there for you in your time of need, in your time of distress, in your time of hopelessness. The church, the family of God, is there to help you, surround you, to love you, to care for you, to be family for you. And that's one of the rewards that comes with being in Jesus' name, the gathering in Jesus' name. What also comes is that I feel like I could go down and talk to the Calvary Baptist Church minister and say, "Brother, can I pray with you and for you?" And that he would say, "Absolutely, we're doing this in Jesus' name. Welcome." That I could go to the preacher down at the Seventh-day Adventist Church and we could sit down and I'd say, "Can I pray with you and for you?" And he'd say, "Absolutely, let's pray, because we're doing this in Jesus' name for the same cause of winning people for Jesus Christ." And it comes with being in family. So Jesus' name comes with rewards. Now, in this passage, we could get very deep theological. We could talk about whether or not you can lose your heavenly reward, right? There's some that believe that once you accept Christ, there's no way that you can lose it. You are in, your card is punched, your get out of hell free card is there, you're good to go, no need to worry about anything else, go live your life the way you want to, you've accepted Him, the deed's been done, that's it. And there are others that say, "Well, I read this passage and it says that you can lose your reward, that if you give someone a cup of cold water in His name, that they won't lose theirs, but that it can happen." But I think the most important thing to focus on in this passage is that the power of Jesus' name is so powerful that there is a reward. And that reward is eternity with God the Father sitting around the throne of God with Jesus at His right hand, praising and worshiping with all we've got for all of eternity. That's the heavenly reward that comes with Jesus' powerful and precious name. Now, here's the difficulty that I have with the websites that I showed you. And again, there's some theological differences I would have with those churches. I would sit down and I would talk with them and we would interpret parts of Scripture differently. And one of the big things that separate us from most is we have a really strong belief in baptism and what happens when someone gives their life to Christ and is buried and raised to walk in new life, Romans 6. And it's just very important to us. And it separates us theologically from a lot of different churches. And so I know that I would sit down and I would have difficulty with that. But, one, who am I to stand on the outside of their church building and cast judgment on what they believe and what they teach without going in and first having a conversation and loving and caring and working alongside them? And secondly, who gave me the monopoly over interpreting Scripture? They can defend their position. I can defend my position. And we're going to love each other and care for one another, and we're going to pray for one another. But in the end, what matters most is the name of Jesus. because both of us are doing things in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, powerful things happen. Healing takes place. Demons are cast out. Rewards are given. And it's eternity with God the Father for all of eternity. Praising and worshiping His name. They give Lou Holtz credit for this. I don't know. I think it probably goes back farther than him. But you'll notice, and I'm not a Notre Dame football fan by any stretch of the imagination. Right? Grow up in Michigan. Can't be a Notre Dame fan. Right? Right. Killed me yesterday and they won in the last second. But anyway, I digress. One thing you'll notice when you watch Notre Dame play football is what? There's no names on the back. And it's cliche now to say the name on the front is more important than the name on the back. And supposedly Lou Holtz said, we're not putting the names on the back because we don't want the guys focusing on who they are and what their name is and getting their name out there. We're more focused on the team, who we are, who we're playing for, what we're playing for, that we are one team working together to accomplish a goal. The powerful name of Jesus is who we are for. We're not for me. We're not for you. We're not for this building. We're not for the words that spell Kalkaska Church of Christ out in the front. We are for Jesus Christ. We are for Him. His name. Because Philippians tells us that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall that Jesus Christ is to the glory of God the Father. We work for Him. And as we see in our scripture today, His name is powerful. His name is mighty. His name is redemption for all of man who will come to Him and accept that He is Lord and lay all that we are at His feet and lift Him up where He deserves to His throne on high. I'm going to pray for us. If you have not yet accepted Jesus as your Savior, if you've not joined the team without names on the back, not gotten over your selfie, I'm going to give you the opportunity at that cross to come down and talk. If you just want prayer this morning, if you're looking for a church home and say, hey, I want to join you guys and what's going on here, I'll be glad to receive you over there. And we'll talk about that. I'll pray with you and we'll see where God leads it. I'm going to pray and the worship team will come up and lead us. Father, thank you so much for your word. Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ in this community. Even though they may not attend with us, they attend other church services and other places that they worship. And Father, I'm thankful this morning that our churches in Kalkaska have people in them. And while they may not be full to capacity, I know that there are people there and they're worshiping you together and they're opening up your word and they're learning and they're teaching from it. And Father, I pray and I know that the powerful name of Jesus will do work in each of those congregations today, just as you will do it here this morning with us. And it's because we're doing it in the name of Jesus. Father, for those congregations who gather together, but they don't know the name of Jesus or they don't proclaim the name of Jesus, Father, may you shut their doors. May you shut their doors so that we can share with them the gospel and that you have died on the cross for our sins and to you that we give all glory and praise and honor for that. Father, we love you. We give you our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand and sing with us.